Wow, what a night. This has been so wonderful. Thank you for having me. I just want to welcome you to your 2024 Christmas tea. The girls here seem to do a beautiful job. And I don't know if you're like me, but when I go to hear a speaker somewhere, it takes me a little while. I'm kind of looking at her, you know, like, I wonder. I wonder if she's for real. I spend the first few minutes trying to figure her out. Is Meef her real name? No! My parents were from West Virginia. My brother is Billy Ray. And my sister is Betty Jo. And my real name is Martha Ann. But I was the youngest of three. And my brother was the oldest, and he nicknamed me Meef, and it's stuck, and I've tried to get rid of it, and it doesn't go away. So I just accepted it. I sit there, and I think, I wonder how old she is. Are you guys like that? You are, right? Yeah, I'm 68. And I think, does she dye her hair? Yep. That's the real color. It's kind of yucky. Yeah. Is she married? Yes, I've been married for 45 years to the most wonderful man God ever created. And I have the kids, like Marla said, I have four kids and nine, bunch of grandkids because they got married now, and great grandkids. And then, does she work a real job? Yes, I was a nurse for many years, so I'm a retired nurse. Yeah, yay. My husband and I have had three seasons in our ministry for Jesus. We were 14 years planting the church in New Jersey that I came from. I came out here and found Jesus, and I said, I got to find me a man, and we got to go back there, and we got to teach the Bible verse by verse. We spent 12 years serving at Maranatha Chapel under our dear friend Ray Bentley that we loved. And we've been spending the last 14 years at Calvary Chapel Santee. And it's been an incredible adventure for sure to love Jesus and serve him with all of our hearts. And I'm kind of like a girl that kind of likes to talk a lot. And I have this wonderful husband who can't hear very well. So we've been happily married for 45 years. I want to thank you for coming. You know, we sing in Sunday school, and as we're growing up, if you were brought up, raised a Christian, we sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Well, when we get together like this, it's a full-blown bonfire for Jesus. Amen? I love these kind of events. Yeah, you can clap. Yeah. And you know, I'm a quote girl, so one of my favorite quotes is, worship is the primary means of unselfing ourselves. Isn't that good? We get our eyes on Jesus and off our problems and off ourselves, and we get peace. We get that peace that only he can bring. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for each one of the women that you've brought here. Father, I pray that we would forget about ourselves, and that finite beings would experience an infinite God. We welcome you and your presence here. Show us your glory, Lord, I pray. Help us to not be unbelieving, but believing. And Lord, we pray that you would fill the whole earth with your glory as the waters cover the sea. Our heart's desire to see you and hear you tonight. And may you be the only explanation for what happens in this room. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Another one of my favorite quotes, and I always say this at our Christmas dessert, blessed is the season which engages the whole world in a conspiracy of love. Isn't that good? For just a little while, maybe just the month of December, you know, they are in a conspiracy of love. I love everything about Christmas, the songs, the decorations, the movies, and the older I get, the more I love them. I force myself to wait until after Thanksgiving to decorate because I love Thanksgiving as well. I have to watch It's a Wonderful Life, Meet Me in St. Louis, Little Women, A Christmas Carol, and Charlie Brown Christmas. They take me back to a simpler time when family was treasured and life was lived at a much slower pace. I love that corrupt Hollywood stars are singing about Jesus. I love that country music gives beer and women a rest and starts singing about my Savior, and even if they don't even know what they're doing. I love it. I love that head shops are playing Silent Night and casinos are singing Joy to the World. The Lord has come. Although they might not have a clue what they are singing about, it blesses my soul because I do know what they're singing about. So Christmas is my favorite time of the year, and I love all the traditions. They warm my soul and dominate the atmosphere for at least 1 month, even if only for a short time. Do you know why we use the date 2024? The Savior of the world, the greatest gift ever given, was placed in a manger 2,024 years ago. Isn't that cool? I don't even think we think about that. But every time we write a check, or every time we write that date, we're saying, yeah, Jesus came. So profound was his birth that for generations we have been counting the years since the day he arrived. The greatest influencer ever. In fact, it was so miraculous that several traditions have evolved over hundreds of years to celebrate his birth. Christmas cards. The first one was made by a Victorian entrepreneur in 1843 as a greeting to his friends. I have done Christmas cards my whole life. I love Christmas cards, and I love to get Christmas cards. I'm glad they're coming back. I think the young girls are coming, bringing them back. Christmas gifts that are given because of the example set by the three kings with gold and frankincense and myrrh. The Christmas wreath is a symbol of honor and victory. Our king has come, the victor. The Christmas colors, red is the blood of Christ. Evergreen trees are green. It's a symbol of everlasting life. And gold was one of the gifts given by the three kings who came to see the birth of the Messiah. St. Nicholas was actually a 40th century Christian bishop whose generosity was legendary. The Christmas stockings, this bishop, what he would do was there were poor people in his town. I raised my kids with this little book. And he didn't want to humble them by handing them money. So while they were sleeping, he would go around to their houses and he would put a coin in their stocking that was hanging on the hearth to dry. So he placed that little coin in their stocking on the fireplace. And as a child in West Virginia, my mother and father grew up, they didn't have much, but every year my mom got an orange in her stocking. And I believe that was to represent that coin that had been given so many years ago by Nicholas, that bishop. A few years ago, they began a war on Christmas. I don't know if you remember this, but even the word bothers some people. Macy's employees were told to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. But you know what? Holiday means holy day. Yeah. And so something miraculous happened on that day. And this hostility isn't new, a war on Christmas. The Massachusetts Bay Colony banned Christmas for 22 years, and anyone caught celebrating was subject to fines from 1659 to 1681. But by 1870, so many were celebrating the birth of Christ that it was declared a U.S. national holiday. Yes. The truth is, Christmas will never go away because Christ came. Another thing I love about Christmas is snow globes. So peaceful and serene. A church, a tree, some carolers, and then you shake it and voila, it's snowing. And snow can be beautiful, but Snow can be hard, too. I was raised on the East Coast. And you know, sometimes life can get really hard. Have you ever felt like somebody was shaking your snow globe? And you didn't understand what in the world is going on? Like, kind of like a snow globe, your life is getting shook. You're just trying to hold on until things settle down. Well, that's what happened to me in 1978. I had moved back home after a divorce at 21. I was married and divorced by 21. I was heartbroken, so I went home for Christmas, away from the person I married, to experience my familiar snow globe Christmas with my mom and my dad. My brother and sister were married and gone with kids, so it was just me, my mom, and my dad. And I was hoping for some peace on earth. I was hoping to have that beautiful Christmas I had as a child. But what I woke up to Christmas morning was broken, sad. I was broken, sad, and lonely. I needed help. But what I found that was my dad had been drinking and busted up all the new living room furniture that my mother had just bought. And he put it all outside in the snow with the Christmas tree and all the presents and everything. Yeah, it was horrible. Their marriage was over and my snow globe was smashed. My world had fallen apart and I was looking to the adults in my life for direction and hope. But to be honest, everyone I knew was a mess, making terrible choices. Divorce, depression, and devastation was all around me. And like Charlie Brown, I was asking, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is really about? I decided to get out of New Jersey, and within 6 months, I ended up in San Diego, living in Ocean Beach, right down there on the cliffs. And the guy who sold us our pot became a Christian. There's a whole bunch of us. This is the truth. God is my witness. There's a whole bunch of us kids living at the beach, and it was the 70s, you know, it was the hippie thing, you know, free love and all that baloney. And the guy that sold us our pot got saved. And so he said, hey, let's all get high and go to church for Easter. Yeah. Yeah. And so we did, and I became a Christian. I know it's bizarre, right? That's my Jesus. And let me just tell you, that drug dealer, he's a pastor in Carlsbad now. So he invited us to church on Easter, and I met Jesus, and I finally found out what Christmas was all about. I didn't realize it at the time, but the glory of God was busting into my life, and I would never, ever be the same again. Praise God. The same thing happened on the first Christmas night to the shepherds. Luke 2:8-14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. So number one, heaven's glory busts into the everydayness of life. And that's what happened to me in 1978. Number two, heaven's counsel was, don't be afraid. Your king has come. And number three, heaven's example was glorify God. So heaven's glory busts onto a field in Bethlehem to some common shepherds, not kings. They were the lowest of the low. They couldn't even testify in court. And God reveals his glory to them. Just like he did to me. This pot-smoking hippie idiot. right? The lowest of the low. He revealed his glory to these shepherds. He chose to manifest himself to the lowest strata of the culture. Shepherds were quiet men. They had a lot of downtime on the job. And then out of nowhere, picture this, ladies. Out of nowhere, the fields were lit up and an angelic being was standing in front of them and they were overwhelmed with their sinful condition. And they were greatly afraid. And suddenly a voice came from heaven and said, "Do not be afraid. We bring you good news." Yikes, I think I would have fainted. The whole sky lit up with angels saying they're bringing good news. That must have been pretty scary. And then just as they were trying to process the angel appearing in all of the glory, the heavens lit up and there were thousands of angels praising God, saying glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. The heavens open up on a field in Bethlehem, and the God of the universe reveals his glory, speaking into the everyday life of some common people. And that's exactly the same thing that happened to me in 1978. I mean, I didn't see 1,000 angels, but Jesus' glory broke into my life. I pray that tonight you would turn your gaze heavenward, that maybe I could help you get a small glimpse of his majesty. I believe that for the most part, our vision of God is too human. And I know that my life will never rise spiritually higher than my vision of God. I need to see him high and lifted up and powerful. I believe that if we were to begin to look up and acknowledge the majesty and greatness of God, our souls would find peace and our lives would be changed forever. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And because of your will, they exist and were created." A little girl goes to her daddy and says, "Daddy, how did the universe begin?" And her daddy says, "It began in a garden. God made Adam and Eve, and they had children." And she said, "Oh, okay." 2 days later, she goes to her mom and asks the same question. "Mom, how did the universe begin?" And the mom says, "Well, many years ago, there were monkeys. And we developed from them." The little girl goes back to her dad and says, "How is it that you say that God made us, and mom says we came from monkeys?" And the dad says, "That's easy, honey. I was telling you about my side of the family." And she was telling you about hers. Two totally different perspectives, right? So a right perspective of God. We need to have a right perspective. We need to look up and stop looking around. Ladies, a right perspective of God gives us a right perspective of everything else. Honestly, when we know how big and how powerful, how kind, how merciful, how forgiving, how loving, when we know who our God is, that changes everything. We are living in a matrix of anxiety and insecurity, and I believe it's because we've lost our vision of God. When you really understand who he is, then you can understand what he does. And sometimes life can get really hard. Our strength gets depleted when we forget who he is. Psalm 19, 1 through 2 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day to day it utters speech, and night to night it reveals knowledge." I teach the two-year-olds. I've done it for years in my church. And I teach them the same lesson, the creation story, every single Sunday. And God made the sun, moon, and stars, and then God made it rain, and then there were flowers, and then we play in the water, we make fish jump. I just love it. I love teaching the creation story. Sunsets, rainbows, the majestic ocean and mountain ranges scream of a designer. Even although I live in Escondido, right near North County Fair, and as Nancy and I were driving here, the sky was lit up. Did you guys see it? Yeah, the red and the orange, and it was just gorgeous. But they reveal the glory of God. We have to stop looking around. We need to look up. Psalm 65:8 says, "He makes the dawn and sunset shout for joy." Did you know the universe operates in precise numerical values? That water falls to the ground at a fixed rate? That light travels at 186,000 minutes per second? That the Milky Way has 2 to 4 billion stars in its galaxy? And Earth, you can put 93 million miles away from the sun. The Earth is 93 million miles away from the sun. And the Hubble telescope reveals that there are 500 million galaxies, each with about 300 million stars. That's our God. That's a, amen. That's majesty right there. There are over 1 million Earths that can fit inside the sun, and all of their forms get their energy from that sun. Gravity. The ocean tides are caused by the gravity of the moon. You know, I'm so glad I don't have to be in charge of that. Or can you imagine? Jeremiah 31:35 says, "He gives the sun for light by day and the fixed order of the moon and stars by night." Aren't you glad these powerful world-changing concepts are not your responsibility? Science is just man learning God's math. That's how majestic and big our God is. And one time when I was really struggling and I had whittled God down, my life got really, really hard, which it will, ladies. If it hasn't yet, it will. But God is big enough. I started writing some poems, and so he gave me this poem, and he says, "Mief, you've got to remember. You've got to remember who I am. You're never going to make it in this fallen world if you don't keep your eyes on me and remember who I am." It goes like this. It's called "You Can't, I Can." Can you lead forth constellations and dress the seasons for their show? Send forth lightning from the heavens, or teach a simple seed to grow? Can you once command the morning, or cause the dawn to know its place, wrap the waters in your garment, or stare Leviathan in the face? Who has given frost its birth? Where's the storehouse for the snow? Did you teach the birds to migrate? Who has done this? Do you know? Were you there when I created earth and sky and land and sea and set the boundaries for the oceans? I will ask you, instruct me. Can you toss the stars in heaven and hold the whole world in your hand? Keep a simple heart beating? It's okay, you can't, I can. Amen? Yeah, hallelujah. Proverbs 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God and the work of his hands." We need to look up. We need to remember him and his majesty and his power. My favorite is Psalm 147:4. It says, "He heals the brokenhearted." He heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds. He counts the stars and gives names to them all. He's named every single star, and yet he loves you so much that he heals your wounds. That's just powerful stuff. This verse reveals his humility and his majesty. Psalm 8 says, "O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him?" But Jesus came because he loves you. So number one, the heaven's glory bust into the everydayness of life of some shepherds on a field. And number two, heaven's counsel was don't be afraid. Luke 2:10 says they were greatly afraid. And the angel said, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So the glory of God busts into the everydayness of life. And then the message from these angels and the heavens is don't be afraid. I love that. I think if I had been one of those shepherds that night, I would have fainted. But I love the counsel of heaven to these precious, lowly shepherds. Don't be afraid. The Savior is here. Have you ever struggled with fear? I have. I remember one time I was working in the hospital, and I was just a med-surg nurse, and so they would give me my patients, and this one day, they gave me two guys who were dying from AIDS, and a suicide attempt. And I was like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. What do I do? This is going to be a tough day, Lord. You're going to have to do something. I want to minister your love to them and your care and your hope to them. And I went into the nurse's lounge, and honestly, I was a little overwhelmed. And I laid my head down on the table where we ate, and I was just laying my head there praying. And I thought, Lord, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. And I looked up. And I saw Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I went, yes, yes, I can do this day because of Jesus Christ and the hope I have in him. You know what it was? The guy who cleaned the refrigerator, his name was Jesus. Yeah. So every time he cleaned the refrigerator, he wrote Jesus. Right, you know, God bless Jesus. Yeah. Fear can be all-consuming, ladies. The message, the counsel from heaven was, don't be afraid. Look up. In 1864, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's life was devastated. He wasn't much in a holiday mood, and when he heard the bells on Christmas Eve during the Civil War, in 1861, his beautiful wife had burned to death when her clothing caught fire from a candle. And he even had the side of his face scarred from trying to save her. And in 1863, his son had been critically wounded in the war. But in 1864, Henry began to look up and pen these words. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead. Nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail. The right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Amen? Amen? Ladies, if life has been hard, I want you to know that God is not the cause, but the redeemer of your suffering. Just look up. Corrie ten Boom, who suffered in a Nazi concentration camp, said this, look at the world, you'll get distressed. Look within, you'll get depressed. Look at God, and you'll find rest. The very best way to experience the glory of God in your life is to look up. Get your eyes off the circumstances of your life and on to the one true and living God, Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 40:26 says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who led forth their hosts by number, he calls them all by name. And because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Look up. See the stars, see the moon. They never fail. The tides, the ocean tides, remember his majesty. Exodus 15, he is majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders. I was just telling Denise, my life, now 46 years I've been loving Jesus. It's been abundantly beyond all that I could ever ask or think. I never dreamed I'd be able to stay married, honestly. Because I'm a pill a little bit. Remember, my husband can't hear, so we do pretty good. Psalm 103, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving. Abounding! He's slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He has not dealt with us according to our iniquities, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. And I just use respect. Same thing. Fear, respect. So great is his loving kindness toward those who respect him. Look up. Any movement toward him is elevation, and away from him is descent. Look up. So the heaven's glory busts into the everydayness of life. Heaven's counsel was, don't be afraid. And then lastly, heaven's example was, glorify God. 7 centuries. Think about that for a minute. 7 centuries before the birth of Christ, an Old Testament prophet named Isaiah predicted the very first Christmas. 7 centuries. In Isaiah 9:6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Like that first Christmas day, I pray that the glory of God would break into the darkness of your life. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever worries and concerns you came into this building tonight with, I pray that you would look up. That you would hear God say, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news. Christ is born. And you would begin to worship him and bring him glory, just like I did in 1978. Has life been hard lately? He's the Wonderful Counselor. His word is alive, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to heal and guide you. He's the only one who can make the sense out of the nonsense that sometimes we go through. Do you feel weak and alone? He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He promises he will never leave you or forsake you. Are you confused from the chaos that you see around you in our world? Well, he's the Prince of Peace. His presence in our lives changes everything. So my prayer for you this evening is that you won't forget to look up and see him in all of his majesty and know how much he loves you, that every hair on your head is numbered, that he's written your name in the palm of his hand. And that's, he went to the cross for you. If you were the only one, he would have went for you. That's how much he loves you. I pray that we would look up in this Christmas and that your Christmas would be filled with the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for every woman in this room. Oh, Jesus, show them your glory. Meet them, Lord, in whatever need, whatever it is, Lord. Lord, I pray that they would hear you say, don't be afraid. And Lord, I pray that you would be their all in all. Lord, if they haven't committed their life to you, that they would decide tonight that you would be the Lord of their life, that they would surrender their will to an almighty, powerful God. And Lord, we just thank you for this Christmas season. Help us, Lord, to glorify you, to sing praises to your name, to worship you. And Lord, that everybody around us would be infected with that love that we talked about. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.